You're listening to All the Backlist, a weekly show about books that are not new. I'm your host, Vanessa Diaz, back for episode 455.5, airing on Friday, March 22nd. Today, I am very, very solidly still on the escapist reading train, unapologetically so. I have been reading books that very much feel like candy, the kind that just fill my cup, because I know that they are solidly just the kinds of things I like to read. Lots of genre, lots of mystery, lots of thriller, haunted, gothy stuff. It's a good time over here. I'm being very savage about putting books down that don't immediately serve me, not because they're bad, but maybe they're just not right for me right now. And so the two books that I'm going to talk about today very much fall in the camp of, yep, these are solidly in my lane of things I like to read. One, crime fighting nun. That's how I sum up my first one. So good. And the second is a really layered and wonderful YA haunted house story. So before I talk entirely too much about both of those, like you know I'm gonna do, let's hear from our sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Forever and Kennedy Ryan's heart-searing sensual This Could Be Us. When the life Soledad Barnes built with the man who was supposed to be her forever goes poof in a cloud of betrayal and disillusion, there is no time to pout or sulk or even grieve the life she lost. But then an unlikely man enters the picture. He's the forbidden one, the one she shouldn't want but can't seem to resist. Y'all know how that goes. But Soledad's lost it all before and refuses to repeat her mistakes. She asks herself, can she trust him? Can she trust herself? From the ashes of a life burned to the ground, something bold and new can rise. So This Could Be Us is an instant New York Times and USA Today bestseller. It's been featured on The Today Show and CBS Mornings. And Kennedy Ryan is the first Black romance author to hit the New York Times adult bestseller list in almost 3 years, which is amazing. Make sure to check out the new book. And thanks again to Forever and Kennedy Ryan's heart-searing sensual This Could Be Us for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Bloom Books. Taming Seven is an epic and unforgettable love story in the international best-selling and TikTok phenomenon The Boys of Tommen series from Chloe Walsh. So Tommen's cheekiest lad, Jared Gibsey Gibson, has always been a comedian, but inside he is haunted by events of the past and he uses humor to cope, hiding his true self from the world. Then you have Claire Biggs, who is the epitome of sunshine. She's always loved Gibsy, her brother's friend and her favorite neighbor. She also has always seen a side to him that no one else seems to notice, and she becomes determined to tame her wild at heart childhood best friend. So the Boys of Tommen series is an internationally best-selling YA romance series that has taken TikTok by storm. It's perfect for readers looking for new adult slash crossover romance, dual point of views, friends to lovers, marathon-worthy TikTok books, and angsty tearjerkers. Taming Seven is published today, and it's the fifth book in the series, so make sure to check it out. And thanks again to Bloom Books for sponsoring this episode.
My first pick is Scorched Grace by Margot Duhaime, and that is the first book in the Sister Holiday series. So there is a sequel. It is out as of March 12th, so I'll tell you a little bit more about that too. And this book, Scorched Grace, was the first to be published under Gillian Flynn's imprint, Zando Books, which is pretty cool. The main character of these books, the Sister Holiday series, is indeed one Sister Holiday, and she is a, get ready for this, tattooed, bleach blonde, chain-smoking, gold-tooth lesbian nun who also solves crimes. What? This is so much things that I just love. And the book really like passed me by completely when it first came out. I don't really know how. It wasn't until the end of the year when I started to see this book pop up on the lists of a lot of our contributors' favorite reads of the year. And also I saw the cover because I work here in the Portland office where a lot of the books, or all of the books for our TBR orders get delivered. This is an unintentional plug for tailored book recommendations. But I saw this hardcover, which was this sort of, I think like reds, blues, and purples stained glass motif of a nun smoking a cigarette. I was like, yeah, I need to know more about this. And I'm so glad that I did because it's so good. So Sister Holiday in the present is a nun in the process of going to take her permanent vows. It's not like an immediate thing. You go through a process. And she has joined the Sisters of the Sublime Blood specifically. So as the story unfolds, we get to know why she chose this one, or like why they even let her in, I guess you should say. and in the present as well, in this New Orleans community where the St. Sebastian School is, where Sister Holiday is a music teacher. The big problem at hand here is that a series of unsolved arsons have left multiple people dead, and Sister Holiday is trying to get to the bottom of what's going on, especially because it looks like someone might be trying to frame her. And then in flashbacks, we get to know Sister Holiday before she was a nun, all the way back to her childhood, where she was really, really close with her brother, who we now know is an army medic. And in their youth, they were so close, not just like in age, they're only 18 months apart, but just also close because they love each other very, very much. And they're like best friends. The people thought they were fraternal twins. And then an event just completely changed their lives. And that is that they both came out to their very unaccepting parents. And while Sister Holiday was mostly able to get by unscathed, her brother was the subject and the target of some awful bullying at school, and ultimately is assaulted by several members of, I think, the football team. This event is the catalyst for Sister Holiday, as we now know her, to really question a whole lot of things. Faith, justice, what justice looks like, why so many people evade justice, what justice is for the victim, like from the victim's perspective, and how do you let the victim be the one that speaks, you know, with the loudest voice in the room in those scenarios. And so much else happens along the way. We get to know her coming into her queerness, dating, her on again, off again, and then on again relationship with a woman named Nina, who, spoiler, well, this is not a spoiler, you find out in the very beginning, is she's very much still had a relationship with her up until relatively recently, even though Nina has long been married to her husband. So we're just getting these pieces of Sister Holiday and getting to know her complexities, how messy, you know, she is. She's trying so hard to be a nun. Like, why did she choose to be a nun? What event was it, or events, and, you know, not just the ones that I've mentioned, that really turned her to wanting to go into a life of faith? And it's the Catholic Church, who, you know, in theory, on paper, is really, really not a place you would expect a woman who is queer and has these sensibilities to ever want to align with. And yet she does, for reasons of like faith and mysticism. So you're getting all of this complexity, this really awesome character development. And then again, this really compelling mystery in the back that's taking place at this school with a bunch of, you know, chaotic nuns. It is such a good story. I love the setting. I loved some of the red herrings. I did not guess the ending. I maybe should have, but really did not. It was so satisfying. And now there's a second book in the series, which is called Blessed Water, and it is out now. So you can literally go out and read it. It came out on the 12th. I talked about it on all the books. And in this book, we now know that Sister Holiday has taken, or she's still about to take, the permanent vows, and she also has a newly minted PI certificate, and she's joined forces with the former fire inspector that we meet in Scorched Grace, named Magnolia Ravot, to join and create the Redemption Detective Agency. And I have read most of this as of this recording. It is phenomenal. It is this ticking clock mystery, as the author describes. It's told in three suspenseful acts over Easter weekend, so Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday, wherein she and Ravot like go out to find a cheating husband and instead find the body of a priest floating in the Mississippi River. So good. There's the themes here, submerging, rebirth, the blood oath of siblings. This is all from the author's mouth. I cannot wait to immerse myself in this story, you know, this world again, and get to know this really messy, complicated, very real character once more. The audiobook is read by Amara Wilson, both the first and the second. Again, I'm mostly all the way through the second, and it's every bit as good as the first. I will add some trigger warnings, some of which I've already kind of mentioned, but sexual assault, homophobia, death of a parent, I believe that is all. And then, of course, arson, but that mostly happens like off the page. It is such a fun read. I hope you will read it. Crime Fighting Nuns, we all need more of that in our lives. That, once again, is Scorched Grace, the first book in the Sister Holiday series by Margot Duwaihi. My next pick for you is Delicious Monsters by Lysel Sambury. Oh, I cannot wait to tell you more about this book. I'm about to, obviously. But so this author actually is the author of the Blood Like Magic books, but also has a new book out as of February 27th called Tender Beasts. And that one is about a private school that's rocked by a gruesome murder and a teen having to try to find the real killer in order to clear her brother's name. Can't wait to read that. But of course, reading about that book made me excited because it meant that I could talk about this one now because it's backlist. And I love this book so much. It was pitched as The Haunting of Hill House meets Sadie, so I was immediately interested. First, we meet Daisy, who is eating at a diner when the book opens, and you can tell she's been there for a long time. Like, the coffee has long gone cold, it might be curdling, and she's been going at this piece of pie for, like, entirely too long, and we soon learn why, and it's because she's there to lurk. She is spying on the boyfriend who just broke up with her. He wants to see him with his new girlfriend, who she is comparing herself to in all the ways that a lot of us do anyway, but perhaps when, like, someone that we were in a relationship, you know, with moves on. But there's a lot more at stake here. Like, this is a very pretty white girl in a bandaged dress with long, straight blonde hair. Like, she fits all of these sort of conventional Western beauty standard stuff. Whereas Daisy's looking at herself and all she sees is a black woman with hair that she hasn't washed in some time and a cutoff hoodie and shorts. And she's, again, just doing all these comparisons and feeling very like, is this what he wants? Is this what he or wanted? Was he using me? And the answer, of course, is yes, he was using her. She's having a bad time. And then, oh, extra layers. She sees dead people. Not all of them are friendly. So again, just having a bad time. And then her mother inherits this secluded mansion in Northern Ontario. This takes place in Canada, where she spent her childhood summers. And she's like, let's move there. Let's go to this house. This is going to be the thing that solves my problems. But the house, not exactly what she was expecting or hoping for it to be. She begins to realize that her experience with the supernatural might not be a match for her mother's secrets and whatever is going on inside the walls of this house. A decade later, we get another story of a young black woman, Brittany, and I believe she is interning at this media company who tapped her and her bestie on the shoulder when their web series called Haunted just went, it blew up. It went super, super viral. Now they're working with this company. They're supposed to, you know, be walking the walk and talking the talk, except it's microaggressions everywhere they look. And the boss does not want to greenlight their next season of Haunted because he thinks it'll be, quote unquote, too niche. Of course, the topic of that season was going to be about missing black girls. So, They take a different angle. Instead, they're going to try to uncover what happened to a very specific young black girl in this mansion 10 years prior. A mansion, by the way, that she has a connection to that other people don't know about. That's that Brittany's awful, abusive mother is a best-selling author who claims that her stay at this house that she's dubbed Miracle Mansion allowed her to see the error of her ways. It transformed her. It changed her. And Brittany is like, that is a lie. And she's going to use this investigation to expose her mother as a fraud. So we have Brittany investigating the mansion in the present. We get Daisy's story running parallel in the past. And then both of these timelines converge in a way that, as the book, I think the copy says, like the most dangerous monsters of all are the ones hiding in plain sight. It is such a good read. Definite trigger warnings for this book. Sexual assault, child abuse. Just abuse, I think, in general, mostly not all the way on the... Actually, you know what? Let me not say that because it's actually been about a year or so since I read this and I don't want to give something inaccurate here. But what I do remember very clearly is that the author in the very first page to the book, or in the beginning, I should say, does a detailed listing of trigger warnings and like how to approach the book. So definitely look for that, for something nice and thorough and complete. But Lizel Sambre, I trust with anything that she writes going forward. I cannot wait to read Tender Beasts. This was such a kind of different take on the haunted house story that brought a lot of other layers and like social issues into it in a way that I so enjoyed and kind of had to remind myself was YA. You know, not that I love YA. It just felt, yeah, it was just like a really hard hit. It was really, really great. That once again is Delicious Monsters by Lizel Sambre. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you to today's sponsor. Thank you to our audio editor, Caitlin Brame, for all the work, because there's so much work to get this to sound polished sometimes. And thank you to her profusely for all the work that she does. For more recs and general bookishness, make sure to check out bookriot.com. And don't forget to check out our full offering of podcasts at bookriot.com/listen. Or you can just search Book Riot on your podcast player of choice. You can find a list of all the books that I've mentioned in the show notes by visiting bookriot.com/all the books. And of course, if you're a fan of all the books and all the backlist, and we hope that you are, and you want to share us some love, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. We appreciate those reviews since they help other book lovers find us and listen to us talk for a very long time about haunted houses and crime-fighting nuns. If you want to find me, I am mostly on Instagram, sometimes at Blue Sky if I can remember that it exists, over at Buenos Dias SD. Thanks again for listening, and in the meantime, happy reading.